Really interesting story that's been developing overnight. The US Department of Justice and 15 American states are suing Apple as part of a crackdown on big tech. The iPhone maker's accused of monopolising the smartphone market, hurting smaller rivals and driving up prices as a result. Now, Apple's, of course, denied this. It's vowed to vigorously fight the lawsuit. We're going to talk more about this now with a leading antitrust expert in the United States. John Cuoca is a distinguished professor of economics at Northeastern University and joins us now from Boston. Professor, thank you very much for your time. For those who aren't familiar with the claims against Apple, what is it essentially accused of doing here?
First off, thank you. It's my pleasure to be with you. So the claims against Apple are, broadly speaking, that it has, in the words of the complaint, abused its dominant position. The foundation of the case is that with the iPhone, Apple is in a preeminent position for a large category of users. And what it has done is to insulate that position against competitors so that other apps and other functionalities and to some degree other products that might otherwise interact with the iPhone have been prevented from gaining access to iPhone users, iPhone customers. So that's one. And the other is that the way it has used its pricing strategies, for example, charging developers who want to have their applications on the App Store, charging them a 30% premium, doesn't reflect anything like the underlying costs and is simply a way that Apple has of extracting more profit from App Store developers, but also there are other pricing practices it uses. All of them are designed to maximize its profit and to do so in ways that, again, handicap, that adversely affect consumers and handicap potential competitors. Abuse of dominance in the terms of the law and in the way that the case will be framed.
So how, in terms of, as you've just described, that abusive dominance, how does that affect consumers? I mean, if someone uses an Apple product, how difficult is it for them to change or access other services that aren't related to Apple?
A good question, and it varies. But for example, Apple, of course, has recently come out with the smartwatch. And the smartwatch works quite seamlessly with the iPhone, but Garmin, that also makes smartwatches, has complained that for no good technological reason, Apple has made its Garmin's watches work much less smoothly and satisfactorily. Similar things have happened with text messaging between the Apple platform and Android operating systems. So if you have an iPhone and want to send me a video text message on my Android, it will not work. And so, again, there's no technological reason for that. It's been built in by Apple in order to preserve its role, preserve its users, and handicap you and me or iPhone users from getting access to the same functions that other users would have.
I guess one interesting part of all of this, though, is, you know, Apple's arguing, hang on, this interconnected ecosystem that we've developed, it's at the core of our business model. That's what makes us competitive. And Tim Cook, Apple CEO, has said in testimony at an antitrust committee that his company doesn't have a dominant market share in any market where we do business. That's part of it. But this interconnected ecosystem is interesting. But people who use Apple products, they find that desirable. They want to be part of that ecosystem. So is that a fair enough argument?
So, of course, we've heard that argument over and over again, and no one is, of course, trying to take away the brilliant idea that the iPhone is. The issue is whether Apple is entitled to expand its domain as a result of having that core idea. So, for example, the remedy, this is looking way ahead, but the remedy would not necessarily prevent Apple from offering a seamless integration and ecosystem, if you will, but it might require to provide stripped down versions of some things so that consumers that don't want all the Apple add-ons could get access to, have the opportunity to purchase alternatives to some things that Apple now pre-installs and doesn't allow alternative users. So that wouldn't necessarily disturb the ecosystem. Apple has made a case about seamless integration, about its privacy and data security. We'll hear a lot about that in the court trials. And whatever the merits may be, the remedy doesn't necessarily have to strip that away. What it simply has to do is to keep Apple from preventing users from choosing alternatives.
And in terms of those efforts to try and prevent that, how significant is it that the Department of Justice has launched this action, at a federal level, especially against such a major player in the tech sector?
Now, this is not the first, but it's actually the
No.
fourth of the major antitrust cases here in the US against the tech sector. The Federal Trade Commission, one of our two antitrust agencies, has already brought suit against Facebook for some of its practices and against Amazon most recently. And the Justice Department has already had one case gone through the hearing process, through the court trial. That's the case against Google's search monopoly. And this is the fourth of the cases against the fourth of the major tech companies against Apple. So over the past 2 or 3 years, there's been renewed concern about the huge footprint that these companies have in the US and worldwide, of course. And up until this last 2 or 3 years, none of these companies have been under particularly close scrutiny. They have acquired, the four or five of them, including Microsoft, have acquired more than 900 companies over the last 20 years. And not a single one of them has been carefully scrutinized or challenged by the antitrust agencies until very recently. So they've been allowed to grow, to expand their, as I call it, footprint without much scrutiny for the competitive implications until very recently. And it's now, of course, a more difficult challenge to determine what to do when you have companies that already have built out their huge systems rather than to have perhaps dealt with some of these mergers and acquisitions as they've come along on an ongoing basis. So the agencies in the US, in some ways, have been slow to get here. But now both agencies have started to scrutinize much more carefully the practices of the major tech companies.
Professor, great
So
to hear
this
you.
follows from. I'm
Sorry,
sorry,
yeah,
please go ahead.
continue. Sorry.
I was going to say this follows because the two agencies are now headed by much more aggressive antitrust enforcers. I had the privilege of working for Alina Khan, who's chair of the FTC most recently, and Jonathan Kanter at the Justice Department. They came into office with the current administration and vowed. As has this administration too, the US has vowed to strengthen antitrust enforcement, and they've done so up and down the market economy in the US. And then again, put these companies under much closer scrutiny than has been true in the past.
So it's great to hear your thoughts, Professor, and thank you for giving us the time on the program. Thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
John Cuoco there, Distinguished Professor of Economics at Northeastern University, joining us there from Boston, leading antitrust expert in the United States, speaking to us with that development overnight, the US Department of Justice and 15 American states suing Apple as part of this crackdown on big tech. And as Professor Cuoco has said, Apple just the latest company, of course, to fall under that antitrust microscope.